Blog Talk Radio.
Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on. From the start it was Yahweh. He took me from the dark, put him in my heart. So Yahweh, got my mind Yahweh. Show me the times and the laws, the flaws of myself Yahweh. Let me know to turn to him, only glory Yahweh. Never bragging anything unless it be Yahweh. He the most high, he my king, he my lawgiver, he my savior. And I'm only praising Yahweh. Told me that my name was Isha, that's man of Yahweh. All fire of Yahweh, whatever it be, you know I breath Yahweh. On my wrist, what does it say? It say praise Yahweh. Y'all can walk another way if you want to, but I'm walking this way. I'm a Israel crew, full life, ride with my homies that be with Yahweh. Only companions, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, JC, never mentioned by Yahweh. Nowhere in the Holy Scriptures do you see Yahweh. Mixing this catch you call Yahoshua, Yahawashah, Yahuwah, whatever y'all calling him, it ain't Yahweh. Quran never spoke about the man Yahweh. I mean the name Yahweh, the Holy One Yahweh. Not a man that he shall lie, or the son of man that he shall repent. And y'all think he said somebody that could get killed? What you talking, Yahweh died? Man, come on, man, you thinking that Yahweh lied? Man, you frontin' now. If you just open the scriptures, you'll see it right there in Isaiah 34 and 16. Yahweh only got one book, so let's look in it. Don't get too shook, minister, reverend, pastor, whoever you are, you spittin' disaster. If you ain't praising the Most High, who is Yahweh? What's good, Yahweh? What's poppin', Yahweh? What's up, Yahweh? What's crackin', Yahweh? On my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah. What's good, Yahweh? What's poppin', Yahweh? What's up, Yahweh? What's crackin', Yahweh? On my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the creator has allowed us to come before you another day, another week, bringing to you his holy, exalted, and sanctified words, even the words of Yah. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All you're going to get is the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. So this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge. He's our lawgiver. And he is our only savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. And I praise Yah for allowing us to come before you once again, bringing you his great and exalted words, even the words of truth. Again today and this whole week, we will be dealing with various questions that our people have around the world, no matter where you're at. And you can hear us, you can see us, or you're tuning in, you can ask us any questions at all. If it's something that the Creator has not prepared us to answer, we will let you know. But I think, and I'm pretty sure, we are prepared. So bring all your hard questions, and we will address them. And we will address them as we can. If you want to ask us a question and you're listening by the way of Blog Talk, all you have to do is press the number 1 on your phone. We will see the hand up, and we will come right to you. Of course, if you're listening by the way of YouTube, you can ask your questions right there on YouTube, as well as Facebook. So, we will take any questions. I know last week I was asked about, someone asked me to teach on Egypt. And although I'm not prepared to teach or to do a lesson on Egypt, one of the things that you want to know about Egypt, many of our brothers and sisters have turned to various religions around the earth. And yes, these are just merely religions. One of these religions is called Egyptology, the study of Egypt. And one of the things you want to know concerning Egyptology, just like all the other religions, none of these religions can teach you and will teach you who you are. That's the foundation of any type of learning that you will have. Knowing who you are would also teach you your ancestry, the gene pool in which you come from. And further, that will teach you your nationality, your language, your culture, your history, and the land of your nativity. Of course, our people have been stripped from this knowledge. And this is why we come to you today and every day. Look what the Creator said, let us know about our people, about his people, And you'll find this in the book of Hosea, the fourth chapter. This is what it says in the book of Hosea, the fourth chapter, the sixth verse. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy Elohim, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. And so we see here that our people are greatly destroyed for lack of knowledge. So it's understandable why our people are caught up in various religions of the earth, because they don't know who they are. And let me show you what the Creator said, how he translates our destruction in the book of Hosea, the third chapter. And watch what it says in the fourth verse. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king. And what's a king? A king is someone that rules you, go out and come in before you. Without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, and without an ephod, without a teraphim. Words, children of Israel shall abide many days without anything that would denote them as a people. No flag, no beacon, no language, no land, no culture. And this is the knowledge our people have lost. So therefore, they take hold to various religions that won't even tell them who they are, like Egyptology. You're not an Egyptian. The Creator never said that the Egyptian people will be stripped of the knowledge of who they are, the land and their nativity. He never. So you can dress up like an Egyptian, an ancient Egyptian, all you want, but you don't have the knowledge of Egypt, and you definitely don't have the knowledge of Israel, because if you had the knowledge of Israel, you wouldn't be calling yourself an Egyptologist. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't take hold to none of these religions that can't teach you very basic foundations of any nation on earth. And that's their land of nativity, their language, as well as their culture. And let me show you this in the book of Genesis. And just let me know if we have questions. Watch this in the book of Genesis, the 10th chapter. All right, and we're going to go right to these questions after I read Genesis, the 10th chapter. In the book of Genesis, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 5 will tell you the sons of Japheth, which is the oldest of all Noah's sons. This is where you will find most of the European nations. Not all of them, but the mass majority of the nations of Europe come from the seed of Japheth. But the last part is what I want you to see. in the fifth verse. And this is what it says. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. Because these are all the components of a people. Their lands, their tongue, their family, because you had a family name, and then you had a national name. Four different things. Watch what it says in this same 10th chapter, the Hamites. The Hamites are the African nations on the continent of Africa. Yet the Europeans. Now these are the African nations. The 20th verse. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, and in their nations. Four different things. Now these are the Shemites, the sons of Shem. And I may add, we're not Africans, nor are we the sons of Ham. The mass majority of the blacks here in America belong to Shem and come out of the loins of Shem. And this is what it says in verse 31. Of Genesis, the 10th chapter. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. Four different components that are essential to knowing who you are. Let me tell you, our people don't know who they are. But we're going to talk about it. Yes, sir. The first question.
First question. What does the Holy Spirit, so-called Old Testament, say about heaven and hell and about what happens to us after we die?
Yes, the question is asked, and you might want to get that mic and say it in the mic so we can have you on tape record. The question was asked, what do the Holy Scriptures say about heaven and hell? And what happens to us after we die? And it's a very, very good question. The word hell come from the Hebrew word Sheol, which just means grave. In the Christian world, hell, you go to the lake of fire, where they will have some type of devil image with a pitchfork to scare everybody. And then heaven is supposed to be a place according, not according to the Holy Scriptures. I know the question is to the Holy Scriptures, but I'm just trying to cover all bases right now in the Christian world. And heaven is this place where everybody who's is saved in the kingdom of heaven, it's supposed to be flying around up in heaven, angels. And neither are true. If you're Muslim, in Islam, they would teach that heaven is not up in the sky. They teach that heaven is underground, with a bunch of lakes, a river that they call paradise. And in this paradise, you have men being fed food by what the Quran called big women, who are supposed to be virgins, and this is their gift from the deity. So they wanted to be opposite of a Christian, so they said their heaven is underground. In Judaism, they will tell you that once you die, everything is over, that's the end, and you just live through your children from one generation to the next. But once you die, that's it. Well, according to the Holy Scriptures, let's look at the book of Ecclesiastes. Two things I want you to see concerning heaven and hell. One is in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. And I'm going to read the 4th verse, and this is what it says. Ecclesiastes 9:4, for to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, the worst thing in the scriptures, worst animal in the scriptures you'll read about is a dog. But still, the scripture says a living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, why would the scriptures say that? Well, it's going to explain what it meant. For the living know that they shall die. And watch this. But the dead know not anything. Which means this. Well, let me finish reading. Neither have they any more a reward, speaking about the dead. The memory of them is forgotten. They don't know their children after they die. Watch this. Also, their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. It dies also. Neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. So what this is saying is this. Once you die, you go to this place called the grave. They translated hell in the scriptures, but it's really just the grave. But once you die, so do all expectation. So do your love, but also your hatred. So do your memory. So do everything about you. Because once you die, everything about you die. And where do you go when you die? Well, according to the Holy Scriptures, your spirit goes back from whence it came. And where did your spirit come from? The Most High. And where did your soul or your body come from? Well, that came from the dust of the earth. Therefore, dust thou art, and dust shall thou return. And the Creator never made heaven for mankind. He made that for the angels. He made the earth, and according to the scriptures, he said the earth was made to inhabit. It was not made in vain. And let me see if I can find this scripture real quick for you, and then we go to the next question. And I'll find that one on where the spirit go, and it's in the book of Ecclesiastes. Once you die. But it goes right back to the Most High, which is in heaven. Heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. No, we just read that. And I'll answer that question before we finish. So what is the next question? Again, on that question, when one died, his spirit go back to the Most High from whence it came, and I'll find that scripture. It's in the book of Ecclesiastes. Your soul, which is your body, go back to the earth from whence it came, and all the world hell is grave. It's the grave, and so that's where you go, to the grave. But these religions would teach you something that the ancients never talked about. Going to heaven and going to hell, the ancients didn't talk about that. Just religion talk about that. And a lot of times they talk about that to spook you out. What is the next question? But we'll find that scripture for you.
So the next question is David the one bringing us home to the wilderness?
The scripture was asked, since King David is the one that is supposed to return on the earth in the last days, will he be the one taking us through the wilderness? Well, this is what it appears to me. And this is why I see David as the one that will save us out of the trouble in which the scriptures call Jacob troubles. There's only one or two things that can happen. He's either the sign of our salvation, or he's the one who would deliver us. Now, why do I say that? And I'm speaking about America before the wilderness. If you go to the book of the first scripture I want you to go to is in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. In this chapter, it speaks about Jacob's trouble. You will read this in the seventh verse. But watch when you connect the seventh, eighth, and ninth verse of Jeremiah 30. Alas, for that day is great, so that there is none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day. What day? Jacob's trouble. Says Yah of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. Speaking about your enemies. But they shall serve Yahweh their Elohim, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Who? These captives, these people who are in bondage. Now you might ask yourself, well, why did I say they will be saved during his time? Well, that's what the scripture says. Watch what it says in the book of Jeremiah 23. In the book of Jeremiah 23, watch what it says. I'm going to show one more verse on this. Behold, the days come, says Yah, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and judgment in the earth. Now watch this. This was Jeremiah 23, verse 5. We have verse 6 now. In his days, Yehuda shall be saved. Whose days? Whom Yah said he was going to raise up. The only one he's talking about raising up is David. The branch that he's talking about raising up is David. The king that he's talking about raising up is David. The one that's supposed to execute judgment and justice in the earth is David. In his days, Yehuda shall be saved, Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called, Yah, our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yah, that they shall no more say, Yahweh liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but Yahweh liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries which I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. This is what Yahweh will do with his. So no wonder this is what it says in the book of Isaiah 55. Not going to show a lot of scriptures on this, but I just want to give you what it says real quick. 55 and 3, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people. Who? David. A leader. And what he's going to lead us to? To the Most High. Where he's going to lead us from? Wherever we at. And a commander to the people. He's a leader and a commander and a witness. So, yes, there's a lot of works he will do, and that's one of them. All right? And then I think we got the scripture that I was looking for. Let's see if this is it. Yes, this is it. The question was asked about where do you go according to the scriptures, after you die. And this is what it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, the 7th verse. It says, then the dust returned to the earth as it was. In other words, that's where you came from, according to the book of Genesis. Dust thou art, and dust shall thou return. And the spirit shall return unto Elohim who gave it. In other words, the body goes back to the earth, and the spirit goes back to the Most High who gave the body, the spirit. This is what happens after death. And once that body goes down to the dirt, it knows nothing. Now, what happens to the spirit when it returns back to the Most High? Well, the spirit goes to sleep. The spirit is at rest until the Creator seems fit to bring it back forth. All right, next question.
Next question is King David the Messiah?
The word Messiah, and the question is asked, is King David the Messiah? The word Messiah is a Greek word, which is in Hebrew, is pronounced, and it lost me for a second, but it's pronounced Mashiach, which means anointed. It means anointed. And this is what the scriptures say about the anointed. Of course, our priests was anointed, our kings was anointed, our prophets was anointed. But when you're talking about the anointed one, this is what it says in the book of Psalms 89. Let us turn there. So we answered the question about who will lead, command, and guide us. That's David. And you also asked, where did you go after death? Your soul go back to the dirt. Your spirit go back to the Most High who gave it. In Psalms 89, the question is King David the Messiah? And this is what it says in the book of Psalm 89, verse 19. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and sayest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my Elohim, and the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. So this is what the Creator said about his anointed. And who is his anointed one? King David. That is correct. Next question.
Judges 19:29. What did Tamar cut to pieces? Was it because she was raped? What scriptures support this act from Yah?
In the book of Judges, the 29th chapter, correct? 19:29. All right. In the book of Judges, the 19th chapter, the 29th verse. And this is what it says. And when he was come in, and when he was coming to the house, he took a knife, speaking about this Levite who had a concubine. And when he was coming to his house, he took a knife and laid hold on his concubine and divided her together with her bones into 12 pieces and sent her into all the coast of Israel. And it was so that all that saw it said there was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it. Take advice and speak your minds. And a question was asked. Read that question again.
Why was she cut in pieces, and was it because she was raped?
Yes, she was. She was not just raped. She was raped and murdered. When this concubine returned back to her master, when she got to the door, it was obvious that she had died. You read this in the 27th verse, and it says, and her master rose up in the morning, opened the doors of his house, went out to go his way, and behold, the woman, his concubine, was falling down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, up, and let us be going. But none answered. Then the man took her up upon an ass, and the man rose up and got him unto his place. In other words, he seen that she was dead. She didn't answer him. She was gone. Did he do this because she was raped? Did he do this because she had died? Why did he do this? Well, let me tell you why. If you read in the book of Judges, the 19th chapter, the very first verse, really the first three verses, and watch what it says. And it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel that there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Yehuda. Now, first of all, if there was a king in Israel, then there would be somebody who really can judge things. There can be somebody who can control things. But there was no king in Israel. This is why it's called the book of Judges. Because Yah will rule up judges. But when there was no king, when there was no judge, the people sinned greatly. And they did whatever they wanted in their, whatever their imagination said, this is what they did. But here's this Levite who took him a concubine, which according to the law is against the law. All the Levites had to marry a virgin daughter of Israel. They could not marry a concubine, only a virgin daughter of Israel. And that's in the law. And look what it says in the second verse. And his concubine played the whore against him and went away from him unto her father's house to Bethlehem Yehuda and was there 4 whole months. Now, according to our law, when you play the whore, you're supposed to die anyway. You're supposed to be stoned to death. You're supposed to be killed. But she ran away before any of those things can happen. Not to say he was going to do that, because he actually left, went to get her, spoke peacefully to her to bring her back home. It just so happened he was in a city, another wicked city, where no rulership was, and they were trying to sleep with him. And they gave his concubine, and they abused her to the point of death, and he cut her in pieces as a testimony of this thing. Now, according to the scriptures, it said just ponder on it, think about this thing, speak about it. And to me, this whole scene was outright wickedness, abomination. And this is what will happen when you don't have leaders, servants, and men of Elohim. The people would just do anything. And this is what was going on during this time. Next question.
Shalom. Next question is Genesis chapter 15, verse 16. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full.
All right. And what do they want to know? Yes. In the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter, this is what it says. We'll start at the 12th verse. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. And now the only place, the only land where that fulfillment or that prophecy is being fulfilled is with our people today here in America. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. Now the story turns right back to Abraham. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they, speaking of who? Thy people, thy seed, shall come here again. And where is here? In other words, back to the land in which they was promised. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. In other words, the Amorites were occupying our land. Or they were, it was their land actually. They were occupying it. But Yahweh was letting him know that the Amorites, their sin is not totally complete. It didn't come to its fullness yet. But once it become to its fullness, then what Yahweh was saying, you're going to come to this land. And he let it be known, when you come to this land, it will be in the fourth generation of our people. The land it was speaking about, if you continue reading, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day, Yah made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river of Euphrates, the Kenites, and the Kenizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. And so you might ask, who is that fourth generation? Well, the first generation after Abraham was Isaac. The second generation after Abraham is Jacob. The third generation after Abraham are the 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob's sons. And then the fourth generation after Jacob's sons are their sons. And once you begin to study the sons of the 12 tribes of Israel, you will see that in their generation, that's who went into the land. As a matter of fact, Moses and Aaron was of that generation. They didn't make it, but Joshua and Caleb did. They made it of that generation. They made it as Yahweh had prophesied. Next question.
Shalom, can you explain the fourth beast that is described in the book of Daniel, chapter 7?
In the book of Daniel, chapter 7, dealing with the fourth beast, and this is what it says concerning the fourth beast. And the question was asked, can we explain this fourth beast? And this is what it says in the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter. And we'll start reading at the 23rd verse. And this is what it says. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall divide the whole earth, shall tread it down, and break it into pieces. And what are these kingdoms? If you want to know kingdoms are, it explains who these kingdoms are. And let me get the chapter, then you can understand who this fourth kingdom is. And you'll read in the book of Daniel, again, letting you know who these kings are. Of course, if you don't know, the very first kingdom is Babylon. The second kingdom is the Medes and the Persians, which is the second as well as the third kingdom. And when it's talking about these kingdoms, it's talking about superpowers. These are superpowers on the earth. And then the fourth kingdom that we're reading about is the Greeks and the Romans. And out of this kingdom, this is what it says in the 24th verse. And 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first. And he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. So in that fourth kingdom, you're going to have other kingdoms, which are called 10 horns, that arise out of it. And out of them 10 horns, 3 shall come out of that. And one of those 3 shall subdue 3 kings, but he shall speak great words against the Most High, wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. So in other words, these kingdoms, the Babylonian kingdom was first, and it's gone. The Medes and the Persians, they had their time. And then the Greeks had their time. And then the Romans came in. The Roman Empire, which was controlled and ran through the authority of the Catholic Church. Why do you think it's in Rome? Why do you think the Vatican is there? And why do you think it says he shall speak great words against the Most High? Because no one changed the laws more than the Catholic Church. Many of the other religions in the West or in Europe comes from Catholicism. These other religions are Protestants, religions that was protesting against the Catholic Church, and so they started their own religion. But out of that kingdom arose 10 other kingdoms, or what they call 10 horns. But in the bottom line, in the end, this is where you have one little horn that's left, and it's called America, the daughter of Babylon, the great whore. You're looking at, you're residing in, and you are concerning yourself today with the empire of the fourth beast. In the Creator's fourth year of his Sabbath of years is when America was born. So I can understand why it's called the fourth beast. Because it was born in Yah's fourth year. And what do the fourth represent? It represents his praise. And Yahweh said his praise he will not give to another, or his glory will not give to another, nor his praise to graven images. And no one has more images or graven images than this great whore. I may add, the Creator said in this fourth beast, he was going to save Yehuda first, according to the book of Zechariah. And who is that? The fourth tribe. And where did he say he was going to save Yehuda from? Well, the four corners of the earth. And when is the fourth year? Since we're talking about the fourth beast. Well, the beginning of the fourth year is at the end of 2019, which marks 400 years. So 2020 is the fourth year. And what's 20 times 20? 400. So the fourth beast is essential to understanding the time that we're in. And we'll deal more with this. Next question.
Are all the righteous from all the generations from the beginning meeting in the wilderness together?
Well, the Creator didn't say this is when he will bring back all the righteous. Of course, yes, everyone that are enslaved at this time in a land that is not theirs, all of them will be delivered. But they still have to go through what the scriptures call the wilderness. And let us show you that in the book of Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, the 33rd verse. And this is what it says. Well, let's start at 32, and this is what it says. And that which coming into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries to serve wood and stone. As I live, says Elohim, surely hand and with a stretched out arm and fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people. I will gather you out of the countries where ye are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. In other words, he's going to gather us out of the countries. When we scatter. Then he said, I'm going to bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Now, if you want to know how that is, 36 verse says, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, says Yah Elohim. So one can say, well, Yahweh is going to plead with us in a wilderness somewhere outside of America or outside of Europe or outside of South America. But whatever it is, it's the wilderness. It's not America. Just like the wilderness was not Egypt. And watch what it says. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels. So in other words, when we're taken out of this land, the rebels and the righteous will be taken together. But once we get to the wilderness, then Yahweh said he's going to purge out the rebels. And them that transgress against me, I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn. I'm going to bring you out of that. But I want you to understand this. And they shall not enter the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am Yah. So you're coming out. But don't think for a second that you're going in, because Yahweh will purge the rebels. So the wilderness is the stomping grounds. That's the grounds of decision in which will determine how much further you will go. And there will be a time, though, in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, the first verse, it says this. And at that time shall Mikael stand up, the great prince who is standing for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Every one that shall be found written in a book. And a lot of people think this, at this time is the time in which we're coming out of captivity. And it's not the time that we're coming out of captivity. Even once we get home to our own land, Yahweh said, even then he will cause all the nations to come up against Jerusalem that are left. And he will deliver us out of this trouble. And then it says in the second verse, once Yahweh delivers us out of that trouble, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and to some to shame and everlasting contempt. And of course, that is when we get home. Question?
Shalom. This question is from Facebook. Should Israelites be paying tithes today?
The question is there, should Israelites be paying tithes today? Well, first of all, what is a tithe? Tithe just means tenth. It just means a tenth. And it's an offering that our people gave unto the Most High, and it was called a tenth. And should Israelites be paying a tenth today? And the answer is absolutely yes. For there are no scriptures. Here it is, our people, they will try to keep every holy day that's written in the book, like many of our people doing today. They keeping the Feast of Weeks, which is called in Hebrew, called Shavuot. And they keep that today. Even though the Creator said, keep that in the land. They were keeping the 7 month, the Feast of Tabernacles. Even though Yahweh said, keep that in the land. And they would keep the Passover, even though Yahweh said, keep that in the land. But then, when it comes to tithes, they will come up with every excuse why you can't keep that. But the scriptures that clearly say it, that clearly point out that there are certain holy days you only keep in Jerusalem, they will try to keep that everywhere. But tithes, they won't. But watch what the Creator says about tithes. And I just show two scriptures. One is in the book of Deuteronomy. The 14th chapter. And this is what it says. The 28th verse. Or let's start at the 27th verse. It says, and the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him. And what is thy gates? Where you live. For he have no part nor inheritance with thee. And it says, at the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thy increase the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates. In other words, where you live. It says at the end of 3 years, but really this is what this is really saying, in the third year. And the Levites, because he had no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, in other words, your cities, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that Yahweh thy Elohim may bless thee in all the work of thy hand which thou doest. This is how we get our blessings. By doing what? That making sure that we give for the benefits of the widow, the fatherless, the Levite, the stranger, so they can eat and be satisfied. And this is what we do. We lay up our tithes and we feed our people. Furthermore, in the book of Deuteronomy 26. Now, do the law say it has to be a priest? No. Do the law say you had to be in the land to keep this law? No, it don't. For the Passover, it clearly says, thou mayest not keep the Passover within any of thy gates, but at the place where Yah the Elohim chose to place his name. But our people try to keep that. But there are no such law that says thou mayest not pay tithes in any of the places or any of the gates. Just the opposite. Deuteronomy 26 and 12. When thou hast made an end of tithing, all the tithes of thy increase the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. And some people say, well, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it myself, and I'm going to keep it in my house. No, Yahweh didn't say do that. But Yahweh said, then thou shalt say before Yahweh, thy Elohim, I brought away the hollow things out of my house, and also given them unto the Levite, unto the stranger, to the fatherless, to the widow, according to all thy commandments, which thou hast commanded me. And I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away out thereof for any unclean use, nor given out thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of Yah, my Elohim, and have done according to all thou hast commanded me. So, if you're doing what Yahweh commanded, then you will do exactly what he said. You will give a tenth of thine increase. And if you look up this word increase, it just means your substance. Increase don't mean cow. Increase don't mean goat. Increase don't mean herb or grass or vegetables or wheat or oil. It just means your increase. So if your increase is in money, then you get that. Because with money, you still can buy food. And you'll also read that in Deuteronomy 14. Next question.
Shalom. Next question is on Blog Talk Radio. Area code 513.
Shalom, you on an air caller?
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
My question is, the Hebrew word for Sheol in the Babylonian language of today, globally, would be grave. Do you think that maybe the wizards of Babylon today, of the North Country, wordsmith and design gravity out of the word grave? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And say that last part again for me.
Do you think the wizards of Babylon developed the word gravity off of the word grave?
I'm not sure. That I had to search that out. I'm not sure. And the question was asked, do the word gravity, is that derived from the word grave? And I'm not sure. I had to search that out and look and see. And I will let you know.
They're wanting to desire, they're wanting to get us to understand backwardly that Sheol, you can't praise, you can't get up out of Sheol. So I'm just looking at how they would tell lies and all. And once they dealt with the word grave for the word Sheol, did the scientists of Babylon come up with the word gravity with this out-of-shape meaning? But, you know, I'm praise Yah.
No, that praise Yah, Elder, and I understand exactly what you're asking and what you're saying. Of course,
hallelujah.
Because, in other words, what our beloved Elder Elijah, the house of Israel, was asking us, just like the word hell, you see 31 times mentioned in the scriptures, the word hell. But it's really talking about the grave, where one die. That's where everybody go. The wicked as well as the righteous go to hell, because all the word hell comes from the Hebrew word sheol, which means grave. And so these religions lie to you to make you think you don't want to go to hell, you want to go to heaven. But to get the ticket to heaven, you got to go through these false ministers, these false preachers, these ambassadors of hell. They ambassadors of hell because they trying to take your soul right down to the grave. And so our beloved elder was saying, since they use that to try to bamboozle and trick us with the word hell and sheol, in other words, they could have just translated the Hebrew word sheol to grave. That's real simple. So why play a trick with that word? Because they had ulterior motives. They wanted you to believe that's not where you, in other words, you had a choice whether you go to hell or not. You either going to hell or you're going to heaven. And all that's just a trick. So what did they do? They left out the word grave because they didn't want to tell you the truth that really all it means is grave. But then the elder was asking, could this word gravity somehow be a derivative of the word grave? And the answer is, I don't know. But do know this, that the word gravity don't exist in the scriptures. Yahweh don't talk about this word. And I would think, if this word was something important for us to know, Yahweh would talk about it. Yahweh would discuss it. And Yahweh will give us the meaning of it. But Yahweh don't talk about this word at all. Even though we see angels descending and ascending in heaven according to the scriptures. Elijah was taken up. Enoch was taken up. When they was taken up, they was taken up by whirlwind, chariots. In other words, these are things that can fly. They didn't just float somewhere because of the lack of gravity, the presence of gravity. So this word is somehow a trick of the scientists. Whether it's a trick or not, I don't know. I just know Yahweh don't discuss it. And if Yahweh's silent, I'm silent concerning that word. But could it have derived from the grave? It's impossible. Next question before we go off air.
Shalom.
Shalom.
This question is from YouTube. Shalom, I'd like to know, do we live again when we die and had followed the Most High laws and commandments?
And yes, we pointed out scriptures, and there's a lot of scriptures that you can go to that will let you know that the righteous, all those that's written in the book of life, we'll read it again for you because maybe you didn't get it or hear us the first time. It's in the book of Daniel, the 11th chapter, 12th chapter, and we'll read that again. Now watch what this says. And the question was asked, will we live again? And there's many who will. There's some who won't. And this is what it says in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter. And watch what it says. the first and second verse of Daniel the 12th chapter. And at that time shall Mikael stand up, the great prince was standing for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. In other words, this is a deliverance of people that are not just living on earth or in our land, because at this time that our people are delivered, this is talking about the time where the Creator said he would bring all the nations down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. This is the time where the Almighty talk about bringing those that escape out of that against Jerusalem. You read this in the book of Ezekiel, the 39th chapter, where he's going to bring up these nations against Jerusalem. This is after our people return home. And he said there's going to be a time of trouble since then have been a nation. And he said, and thy people shall be delivered. Which ones? Every one that shall be found written in the book. What book? The book that is called the Book of Life. And Moses talks about this Book of Life in the book of Exodus, the 31st and the 32nd chapter. Moses talked about this book also. But watch what it says to answer your question in the second verse. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth. In other words, if you sleep in the dust of the earth, that means you're dead. Shall awake. Some to everlasting life. And some to shame and everlasting contempt. So yes, it is true that there will be people who will be delivered from the power of the grave. And who are those people? The righteous. Who are those people? The remnant. Who are those people? They are the people who Yahweh have extended salvation unto. That's who they are. And I know we may not have got to everybody's questions, but this is all we're going to be doing the whole week, answering questions. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Worthy.